Our morning scripture comes from the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter. And this is a post-resurrection experience that Jesus is having with Peter. So the two of them are together. The other disciples are around. And they've just finished going out fishing and having caught some fish. And Jesus having appeared on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and so this is where it picks up. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." This ends the reading from God's holy word. May God add a blessing to our understanding of it. So these are crazy times. And I'm not talking about 2020. I'm talking about 2020 years ago, at this same time of the year. I'm talking about when Jesus had predicted his death and the disciples, out of ignorance or denial, had ignored him. I'm talking about when Jesus shared the Last Supper, explaining that one of them would betray him and one of them would deny him. And they all said, "Not me, Lord." And then Jesus was arrested, and the disciples scattered. Then he was crucified, and only one disciple stayed at the cross with him. I'm talking about when Jesus dies and is buried and then rises again on the third day, just as he said he would, and the disciples don't believe it when they're told. What a time. What a confusing and scary and frustrating time for all the disciples, and I imagine most of all for Peter. Jesus had been resurrected and is ready to see the 11 disciples again, to check in and see how everyone is doing, to reconnect with them. Now remember that before Jesus died, he told the disciples what they needed to do. He had given them the Great Commission to go out and baptize and make disciples of all the people. It was a very clear directive. It was now their job to take his ministry on the road, to feed the poor, to heal the sick, to preach, and to baptize people into the gospel of love. And yet, in our story, we find the disciples fishing. Why? They're lost and without direction, without Jesus to lead them. These are uncertain times. They're feeling out of sorts, like the foundation beneath them has been shifted. Probably a bit scared about what the future will bring. A future they can't even imagine or even plan for. For them, in the course of a weekend, their entire lives were upended, changed in ways they could never, ever have fathomed. The vision for their future was unclear. So they did what they know how to do. They went fishing. And that's where Jesus finds them, fishing on the Sea of Galilee, just off the beaches of Capernaum. And when the gospel writer John, who's out in the boat with them, hears a voice, he looks to the shore and he sees and recognizes the resurrected Jesus. And this is where I love Simon Peter, because he hears John call out, so he looks up to the shore, and he sees Jesus, and he jumps out of the boat to get to Jesus fast. Can't you just see this happening? Impulsive Peter, hurting Peter, confused and lost Peter, just jumps out of the boat. Actually, it kind of sounds like something I would do, to be honest. And what follows is a most wonderful story, giving us a clear insight into Peter and a wonderful vision of our compassionate Lord Jesus. Because it was a crazy time, and Peter clearly needed to work through some stuff with Jesus. I imagine that the past 3 days for Peter, he had spent much of it beating himself up, going over and over the last hours of Jesus' life and his response to it. Jesus asks him to watch over him while he prays. Peter falls asleep, not once, but twice. The guards come to arrest Jesus, and Peter tries to start a battle by cutting off a soldier's ear, which Jesus then rapidly heals and turns and rebukes Peter. After the arrest, Peter disappears. He tries to hide among the crowds in Jerusalem. 3 times he is recognized as a follower of Jesus, and 3 times he denies it. I do not know him. And each time he gets more frantic until you can almost hear his fear. I do not know him. And after the death, it didn't get much better for Peter. Mary and the other women had told him Jesus was alive, and he waved them away with a dismissive gesture. Then Cleopas and his companion came and said the same thing, and again they're turned away. So yeah, Peter had some unfinished business with Jesus. And if I were Jesus, honestly, I would have had some unfinished business with him. First, I would think that Peter would want to explain what was going through his head when he denied Jesus. After all, he's the one that loudly and brashly told Jesus at the Last Supper, "Although all the others may fall away, I will never betray you." But then very quickly, he does just that. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. And I would imagine that Peter knows that if he is going to be the leader that Jesus told him he would be, he's got some work to do. He needs to set the record straight and get the forgiveness he feels he needs from Jesus. But what happens next between Peter and Jesus is really, I think, one of the greatest moments. Now, Jesus approaches us differently than I would have. I would have said, "Why did you deny me? What were you thinking? What do you have to say for yourself?" But not Jesus. He just says to Peter, "Do you love me?" Such an interesting response. Not one I usually have when someone I love has done me wrong. I don't know about you. But when someone hasn't done what I ask or something that hurts me or says something mean, I generally don't say, "Do you love me?" Sometimes I think, if you loved me, you wouldn't have done that to me. But that's not the same thing. So one of these things about being in our homes these past 7 weeks has done is tested our love for one another. How has it been for you when tempers have flared or things weren't done the way we expected or someone has just been a lot lazier or a lot bossier than ever imagined? Or how's it been dealing with the loneliness and not having the privilege of having someone in the house to get annoyed with? We're all in Peter's shoes. Our whole world sometimes feels like it's collapsing around us. We've never expected to be quarantined for this long. No one ever thought 8 weeks ago that you could lose your business that you had successfully built up from the ground up, or that you could be facing a collapse financially if this shutdown continues. We couldn't imagine that we could feel this afraid of losing everything that's precious and important to us. or that we wouldn't have the freedom to travel where we want to, when we want to, or to shop where we want to, or walk where we want to. Like Peter, our world has been turned upside down. So what happens to us when this happens? What do we do? How do we do it? Who helps us? Enter Jesus. At this worst time of Peter's life, when he has lost everything, is beyond humiliated, Jesus takes Peter on a walk. He knows that Peter is racked with guilt. I'm sure his pain is palpable. Simon, who Jesus renamed Peter, the rock, the man who Jesus is going to have built his church, had said and done these hurtful things. I imagine many of us might have just been done with Peter altogether, but not Jesus. That's not how Jesus does things. Instead of turning Peter away, instead of telling him, there's no place for you anymore, or that you've hurt my feelings so badly I never want to see or talk with you again, or shaming him publicly by rebuking him in front of the other disciples, Jesus just takes him on a walk. And then, in great Jesus form, he doesn't spend a lot of time stammering around the issue. He asks a simple question of Peter, a question that goes right to the heart of Peter's pain. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Can you imagine? Jesus just opens that wound right up. He rips the Band-Aid off. He lets the ugly and the painful fall right out there in the open. And what happens when he does that? What happens when we confront our issues head on instead of beating around the bush? It opens the door for our healing. And that's what happens here. As soon as Jesus exposes the issue, it allows Peter to begin to heal. But it's not a painless process. Three times Jesus gives Peter the chance to repent for his denials by answering with love. Peter, do you love me? Can't you almost feel Peter's anguish and embarrassment? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then Peter might have thought, phew, that's done. All I had to do was say I love him. But it's not done. Jesus continues. He asks the same question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter's probably a little embarrassed or maybe even a little heartbroken. Answers the same way. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus asks that same question again. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And now Peter admits defeat. This is too painful. He thinks Jesus doesn't believe that he loves him. John even takes the time to write in the gospel that Peter felt hurt when he answered, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. So do you see what Jesus did here? Peter's three denials were turned into three opportunities to heal simply by understanding what love is and what love does and how love feels. Crazy times for sure. We are entering our eighth week into this world pandemic. Those words alone are crazy to say. A world pandemic. I don't think any of us in our wildest imaginations could have thought on New Year's Day that 2020 was going to bring this into our lives. But here we are. And for some of this really has just been an inconvenience. We've had to adjust to new ways of going to work or to school or to our community meetings. But we've managed, and I'd even say excelled. Our technological skills have skyrocketed in these last times, for sure. And every morning we get out of our pajamas, or not, and grab a cup of coffee or tea, a quick breakfast with the family, and wander down to the room where we've set up a temporary office or schoolroom, and we start our day. But for some, it's been much harder. Every day looms long. There's no group of coworkers waiting around the corner to say hello or to share some funny meme or a TikTok video. And loneliness, for some, is a new, harsh reality. And then for others, this time has been devastating. Jobs have been furloughed or lost altogether. Businesses have collapsed, incomes lost. But for all of us, our sense of control of our own lives, our normal way of living, our way of interacting with our friends and family, our way of going to church, have all shifted to a new reality. So yes, these are crazy times. These are uncomfortable times. These are unnerving times. And how we are feeling or reacting every moment of every day is perfectly human. I love Paul's children's sermon because, as you know, we don't generally talk about what each is going to say, and this is a perfect parallel. Because some of us are waking up some days and just feeling sad. And that's okay for these crazy times. Sometimes we're walking around feeling a little disconnected, looking at life a little like, I'm not really seeing this. Finding it hard to even want to read a book or to watch a movie. And that's okay, because these are crazy times. But because I am a mental health advocate, I will also say that if you are having these despondent feelings every day, please reach out for help. Because these are painful times, and there is no shame in needing some assistance to get through them. So the question looms, what can we do, and how do we spiritually deal with all of this? What can we do? I say, go on a walk with Jesus. Walk the path of a person of faith by focusing on four things that Jesus always did. Number one, pray. So many people need our prayers, both in our personal lives, in our church life, in our community, and in our world. And we know that studies have shown that you don't need to know a person's name to have healing occur. So pray for our world. Pray for our town. Pray for our church. Become part of the movement to create a healing energy in the world. Number two, love people. Tell the people you love how you feel about them. Send a text, an email, or better yet, call them up and say the words, I love you. Just do it today. When I was a little kid, my hometown minister preached a sermon on the importance of telling people you love them. My father, who had never said those words, heard that sermon, and that day at lunch, he got up from the lunch table, went into another room, and went, I love you all. And then he came back into the room as if nothing had happened and was never to be mentioned again. People need to hear that you love them, so let them know. Today's a great day to do that. So become part of the movement to create a loving energy in our world. And number three, continue to care. Thank you for your help with the food and the games and the bus passes, the rent money, the toiletries, and everything else that is on that front page of the newsletter. continue to help others who are hurting. So many people need our help now and will need it in the coming year. So become part of that movement to create a caring energy in our world. And fourth, and most importantly, look to Jesus. Because with him, we will find the comfort for when we're confused and feeling lost, and when we're unsure about the future and of what we're supposed to be doing. Now is the time to look up from your phones and whatever is distracting us, and hear Jesus calling from the shore. Now is the time to jump out of the boat and run to Jesus, because he will give us the answer. He will meet our needs. He is here, waiting for us to turn to him. He loves us and wants to share this time with us. He comes with no judgment, just love. He comes with no agenda, but love. He comes with no expectations, except love. And when we are in his presence, we receive all that he gives us. So Jesus asks, and insert your name here, do you love me? And we say, yes, Lord. And he says, come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And he says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your God in heaven. And he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And Jesus asks, insert your name here, do you love me? And hear him say, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Amen.
Our loving God, what a world this is that you have created and that you are with us in every step. What a journey and what a life. And God, what a gift with all of it. You give us our abilities. You give us our challenges. You give us our families, our friends, our loved ones, and the possibilities to help and to create and to try to solve problems and to make positive changes. God, these are all things that you pack in the scriptures on every page and through every challenge that we go through in our lives. You keep setting our hearts straight once again. You keep setting our paths straight once again. You keep picking us up and dusting us off and encouraging us and welcoming us to try once again with you and with our community of faith. We try together as the body of Christ. And we thank you for the many ways that we have done that over these last many weeks together, providing food, providing so many forms of help and extra help to those in need, that we have been providing hope, God, and we thank you for that. We have been providing a team of support and sustenance and care. We thank you for helping us to do this and providing for all sorts of folks, for caring for our very own here and for those in Bridgeport, for giving us the means to provide for immigrants and those far away. We thank you for helping us to provide for all of your children. And as we do, may we not forget to care for ourselves as well in the process, to offer and allow extra doses of forgiveness, extra doses of patience, to let go of judgment, and give extra helpings of love and kindness. And on our continuing journey, be with us, God, and help us to be with others as your hands, your heart, your spirit, now, tomorrow, and forevermore, but one day at a time. With your healing spirit, this we pray. Amen.